The Orange FM.
Ready to form Voltron. Activate interlocks. Dinotherms connected. Infracell up. Mega thrusters are go.
Merry Christmas, Voltron fans. We're back 1 week later on the Let's Voltron podcast. This is Mark Morell, your co-host with Jeremy Corey, and welcome, Jeremy.
That's right. Four emblazing Christmas lights, fans out there, and happy Festivus to you, Mark. This has been a great time, and I hope I sound a little better than last week after I got over my Hagarium infection.
Did you have to use Blazing Sword to get that to happen?
Indeed. I went to the infirmary, and Pidge did some things to me that I'd rather not talk about on the air, but let's just say it was some homeopathic treatment that really worked.
The magic of Voltron is alive and well.
Nanny took good care of me, some kind of strange Slavic soup, and it worked really well on myself. But I got to chat with Sven on Planet Ebb for a while. We went to the same hospital, so he's doing good. He's doing good. I signed his cast.
I'm wearing my Sven shirt. Can you see that?
Sven lives. That's very nice. I'm wearing my Voltron Form Blazing Sword boxer shorts. Can you see that?
No, okay. I really don't want to.
Oh, well, all right, Mark, geez. You don't have to be a prude or anything.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, what a difference a week makes.
Why? Huh? Wait, what do you mean? Is there stuff going on? Are you referring to Robotech Voltron coming out this week in comic book stores?
Obviously, I was talking about the weather. I mean, it was so cold last week, and now it's warm.
It's unbelievable. I blame Zartan's weather controlling device or something. Yeah, we've got some big news to share that kind of rocks the foundation of the Voltron fan world. But we'll get to that later in the show. That's what we call a tease.
Right.
We tease it in the radio business, right? Don't we? In the podcast business, to drive those ratings and those feedback and everything. Which, speaking of feedback, Mark, you've done a tremendous job. This has been great, man. The feedback to this podcast has been awesome.
I can't tell you. I am overwhelmed by the response we've received from fans all over the world. When we released this podcast last week, we weren't really sure, you know, how it was going to be received. So at this point, we are looking at being at the top of new and noteworthy on iTunes. How about that, huh?
Yeah, that was such a thrill as an avid podcast listener myself, just to see that. That was really such a great way to end the year. So we appreciate everybody who's listening out there. We're going to get to your questions. We're going to give you some shout-outs on the air. And we just ask you to keep tweeting about it, keep posting on Facebook about it, and we'll keep growing this party.
I want to get to those reviews right away here. Let's talk about we have five different reviews I want to mention. The first is from Voltron SVN. He says, I don't think it really gets better than this. Mark and Jeremy do a great job showing the love they both have for Voltron. This is the best place to get up-to-date information on the Defender of the Universe. 10 stars. They only go up to 5, but he gave it 10.
That's the, like, vehicle Voltron, or the Albagos of stars there, I see.
Right.
It's going above and beyond.
I'll bet you he's a vehicle Voltron fan.
Fair enough.
Eddie Monster 64 says, love it, love it, love it, Robotech and Voltron. What? Can't wait. What's up with the live-action movie like Transformers?
We'll definitely get to that question, and we'll go deep. That we could do a whole podcast on the update of the live-action movie. But just to throw it out there, I think you're going to hear some more news when it comes to the live-action movie. Closer to, as we get into 2014, Voltron's 30th anniversary, as obviously some things will be brewing there. So that's my short answer on that.
Okay. Our next one, Francis Rubach says, very excited about this. Looking forward to future episodes. Keep it up.
Very nice.
We will be keeping it up.
Absolutely. And I have a confession to make, Mark. I am Francis Rubach. That was me. No, I'm kidding. There's only one Francis Rubach. We know that.
All right. The next one, Rayleigh514 says, really looking forward to the 30th anniversary book.
30th anniversary book. Had a big meeting with Tracy. We had a big call and Brian Smitty Smith this week, and he is going into some really cool areas with that, and we're going to support him, and we're digging deep into the archives and such. So it's going to be something special, and Mark Morrell writing on it.
I actually am going to be talking to Tracy on Monday.
Cool, perfect.
So we're in between first draft, second draft type area, right there.
Nice.
The next one, Cauliflower 23 says, "Great show. Been waiting a long time for this. Finally."
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate all this feedback and the ones on Facebook. And no matter how you listen, just be sure to subscribe. Be sure to leave a review and tell some other Voltron fans about it. As I saw a couple tweets go out where they're just like, "I can't believe there's a Voltron podcast finally." So seems like we're making them happy.
We posted before this recording about asking for fan input on Tommy Yoon questions.
Yeah.
And we've also received some suggestions from the viewers all over the world, especially in Australia, where Cubbyberry, one of our Keith and Alora fanfic fame people, suggests providing a transcript of each show on the letsvoltron.com podcast notes page for the hearing impaired Voltron fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we think that's an excellent idea. So we're working with the Orange FM network to find the best solution for providing transcripts after each episode is posted. And once we work it out, we'll make sure we apply it to every episode going forward and the ones we've already completed.
Yeah, we've got a couple really awesome fans, that are tackling those challenges. And the great news is they're doing something about it. Like our buddy Eddie in Australia, who is helping with the other Galaxy Garrison folks there to subtitle a lot of those classic episodes, and we've been adding those up on the official Voltron YouTube. So it's really cool to see fans gather around and want to make sure that other fans with those types of challenges can enjoy the universe of Voltron. So a hearty lion hand salute.
Right. And then Gregory Tyler from the Galaxy Garrison group on Facebook has some podcast ideas. He had suggested that we answer fan questions and interview fans during the podcast.
That could be dangerous, interviewing folks like Mark Oliver, but we could definitely try, just to make sure he hasn't had that purple Hagarium drink the night before, and I think it'll be good. You guys were on Twitter giving some salutes on Friday, huh? So a little bit of the ale was going around, I see, on Twitter.
Yes, we were putting our glasses up for you, actually. And we'll talk about why later.
Yeah, not that, you know, Voltron is a family brand. We don't encourage that type of thing. But if, you were having a juice box or whatnot, it is funny to see our fans connecting on Twitter like that.
Another suggestion, Raven, spelled Reighvin, had suggested putting an RSS feed out there so that he could add it to his Pocket Cast app. There are lots of apps out there for people who want to listen to podcasts, and they tie directly into RSS feeds. So that request has already been handled, and we are now available by RSS feed at simplecast.fm/podcast/52/RSS. And that link is also available on the letsvoltron.com notes page.
Yeah, awesome. All that technology, we are embracing it. And so what else we got?
Well, I just want to further mention that Let's Voltron, the podcast, will hopefully remain at the top of the new and noteworthy top page there on iTunes. And we would like fans to help us out by reviewing it, rate it, and subscribe to it on iTunes. Share the news with your friends on blogs, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, or whatever you use to share your cool, geeky goodness.
Yeah, our smoke signals. You know, those are underrated these days. That's the original tweet when you hashtag a smoke signal up there. That's kind of a lost art, isn't it? We ought to start that up again. I'm just saying, urban smoke signaling.
Yeah.
That could be like urban gardening, just kind of getting back to the roots, man.
Well, we are getting close here to now having Tommy Yoon join us, and I want to talk about the Robotech Voltron crossover number one coming out. I wanted to let you know that I visited our local comic book shop here in Quakertown at the Q-Mart. And they will be having that available for us.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've got a message from Tommy. He's about ready to activate the SDF-1 and blast off with us here to the on visit on Planet Eris for a little Sunday brunch. And he is just a super talented force of nature that we're really pleased to have be able to play in the Voltron sandbox. And he's ready to rock, man. So if we want to transport fans with a Voltron, we'll be back after these messages. I think we're ready.
We will do that. And I also have a little bit of a treat. There is the Robotech theme. So we will be leading him in with the Robotech theme. What do you think of that?
I think that makes perfect sense. So fire away. I hear there was a strange occurrence happened on the planet Earth, and a giant technology ship flew down. So by all means, let's blast this Veritech fighter off.
All right, cue it up, Maestro.
Voltron will be back after these messages.
Welcome Tommy Yoon, artist and writer for Robotech Voltron crossover comic number one.
How about that? Everybody hearing that theme
song? Good morning,
there?
Guys.
Yeah, takes them back. Can you believe it? Robotech and Voltron, the two universes are colliding, and Tommy is just such a master universe caretaker. And Tommy, thank you for joining us this morning, and a big thank you for signing all those Robotech Voltron comic books out this week, of course. How's your hand holding up? That was overwhelming, the response online to people wanting their copy signed by Tommy Yoon.
Oh, actually, it's just fine. Just put up with my voice because it's flu season over here in California.
And having young children will do that, right?
Yeah, they're all basically walking petri dishes.
Exactly. They lick the palm of their hand, and then have you had them sneeze in your mouth yet?
We try to train them out of that.
Just wait, it's coming. Anyway, back to the two coolest anime series of all time combining. No big deal.
Yeah, we just want to talk a little bit about the process of how you guys got together to, you know, decide that you wanted to do a Robotech Voltron crossover.
Yeah, this was actually kind of tossed back and forth for several years. One of the things that's interesting is that this is not the first crossover that was proposed to us. There were crossovers proposed before in the past. And, you know, sometimes some of the ideas, you know, were not bad. And in other cases, you would actually kind of shudder at the thought. But this is one of those cases where it was, you know, one of those, you know, it would actually make sense because those are both franchises which fans were exposed to at about the same time, and they're very iconic franchises. But the most important thing was the story and the concept had to work between them. You know, the story was very important that first.
Yeah, right. I can remember meeting Tommy and Kevin McKeever. I believe Tommy was it back at Kunicon in like 06 or 07, something like that, here in St. Louis, a little small anime.
Oh, yeah, convention. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's just funny, the two similarities between the companies in World Events and Harmony Gold, and that, you know, all the different, from real estate to, we don't have a theater that we use like Harmony Gold. That's pretty sweet. But it is kind of, you know, a mutual appreciation there. So I think it just came down to a lot of timing. And, of course, we have to thank Dynamite Comics and Nick and everybody over there for making it happen. And certainly Warner Brothers as well, because you guys have a lot going on in the Robotech universe and just such a wonderful thing that we could make it happen.
Yeah, we're definitely very thankful to DC Comics for allowing this license to happen, since they were the first to hold a Robotech license, you know, for the comics released as of late. But the folks at Dynamite, yeah, they're absolutely instrumental. Without them, this crossover wouldn't have happened.
And selfishly, I have to admit, I really just wanted to see Tommy Yoon draw Voltron characters. It was just my fanboy wish here for trying to get all the parties to meet, and it took a while, and now we have these incredibly awesome covers, and the volume 2 issue 2 cover just came out this week, right? Fans got to see your King Alphor with blazing sword, with little mini,
yeah,
blazing sword.
Actually, it'll be interesting when you find out about the scene behind that, but I'm very honored to be able to draw images for the Voltron universe, but to give credit where credit is due, The person who deserves a lot of credit is Elmer Damaso. He's the Filipino artist who's just doing unbelievable work on this. You know, shout out to those guys. They've been working hard, even though their hometown Manila has been hard hit by just absolutely terrible weather as of late. But those guys were troopers, turning in just fantastic work, you know, through this challenging time of the year. And yeah, real big shout out to those guys, Elmer and the Digital Art Chefs team, who also colored it. The artwork coming out of these guys for the book has just been phenomenal.
Would you say that that's a manga style that we've never seen for Voltron characters before?
Yeah, I think it's a very authentic looking manga style. And actually, comparing back to the Robotech look, it doesn't happen that often. I mean, we have anime style comics, but to have the manga style comics, because it's actually wonderful to look at this artwork in black and white. And it holds up extremely well. I think this is probably one of the most manga-looking, you know, Robotech art books to date. Well, actually, there was one other. We had Takeshi Miyazawa do one series for us, but he's actually, you know, he's Japanese. Yeah, this has been, I mean, this looks like a book you would pick up, you know, overseas.
I was just saying, from the fan perspective, that after all the recent experimentations in Voltron comics from Dynamite, you know, whatnot, looking at and cool stuff like Voltron Year One from Craig Cermak and things, I think fans were ready for something that felt a little more back to basics. And so I can speak for myself that it's so fantastic to see the characters in that style again. And I'm so glad Tommy kept the mullet, is what I'm really trying to say on Keith. Yeah.
Going back to your original roots at Robotech, Tommy, you started with a comic called From the Stars. Do you remember that one?
Yes, that's actually not my first comic at
it wasn't?
Wildstorm / DC Comics. Prior to that, I worked on Speed Racer.
Right. Okay.
And yeah, so that was actually back in the 90s. There was this kind of resurgence of old anime going on in comics, where with digital coloring, they were able to replicate the look of, you know, classic anime much better than with previous coloring methods. And I remember Speed Racer took off huge when that came out. That kind of led me into me working on Robotech. Yeah, Voltron was just another one of those series next to Speed Racer and Robotech that I really look forward to working on as well.
So let's ask the question then. You decided to bring Lion Force Voltron together with Macross Saga?
Yeah, like Jeremy said, one of the things that was important for this run was, back to the basics, was, you know, I said straight out to fans at conventions, this is going to be a total throwback. It's going to be as if, you know, during the height of these two productions, just first being hot on TV with the Lion Force and Robotech the Macross Saga, what fans remember first, this would be the comic crossover series that would be running for fans at that time. A lot of the fans who watched the show and remember a lot of the details from those episodes are going to see a lot of detail, you know, from those episodes, you know, crossover. Actually, to research this, because definitely I know Robotech, well, prior to this crossover, since I knew Robotech better than Voltron, I put myself through watching every single episode, including the original Japanese version. So I had, you know, a better understanding of the storytelling and the story details so that I was prepared for working on this.
The Beast King Go Lion, did it have English subtitles at the bottom?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Okay. So you didn't get the same type of feeling that Ted Koppler originally got when he was just listening to it in Japanese.
Yeah, that's actually similar to what happened to the Robotech production crew. Is some of the writers, they would actually watch the Japanese material without any localization done. So they were actually being exposed to it blind, you know, much in a similar method.
Very cool.
Yeah. And as we all know, once you go lion, you never go back. Is that true with you? Yeah. I think that got a lot to the roots, and I like what you're coming up with. Is, you know, you mentioned knowing a lot more about Robotech than Voltron, obviously, just being the man over there. And I'm in a similar position where I definitely remember Robotech just being this, you know, soap opera saga in anime form, and just kind of blowing my mind as a kid. And now it's been a pleasure for myself, and I hope a lot of other Voltron fans will join me in just rediscovering Robotech and really just sitting there talking to you guys and the folks over at Robotech X on, you know, so this is so influential on just, you know, anime style coming to a Western audience and understanding how those books fit into it that really went into the whole style and the characters. It's just been a learning process for me. So I guess I'm trying to say that you don't have to necessarily be a deep Robotech fan to be able to pick this up. And I hope that's the same for Robotech fans with Voltron, that, you know, it's the way you're unveiling the story slowly. It really makes sense in its own kind of what if alternative universe.
That was definitely important, is all of the storytelling is occurring from origin story points, so that fans who are unfamiliar with the universe can go through a journey of discovery, so that this is a really good jumping on point, even if you're just casually familiar with the universes, even if you're not, a know-it-all of every single episode. But at the same time, fans who have watched a lot of the episodes and remember small details from the episodes are going to notice a lot of details crop up in this, and so they'll be rewarded as well.
What about the launch of SDF-1? Is that before that?
No. This storyline actually occurs during the launch of the SDF-1.
Very cool.
And Jeremy, is it okay if I blow it for
where
in the Voltron universe this is going on? Would you like fans to be surprised by this?
I think just given that this is the official Let's Voltron podcast, we like to give exclusive scoops. Go ahead and blow the lid off this.
Okay, if fans are watching, because actually I spoke back and forth with Jeremy. If there was a universe time-space bending event that was going to occur, I asked him, you know, what would be a good jumping on point. And Mr. Correa, I remember you had thought that the Captive Comet episode would be excellent. And so this is actually occurring. The crossover event occurs with the Captive Comet episode with the Omega Comet. So we were actually kind of saving the surprise for issue two. But if you look, you'll notice a lot of overlap in the events with the episode in which the Omega Comet appears.
Yeah, it's going to really disrupt the universe and of both sagas. So it's just going to be so much fun. And what Tommy, I can tell, he's just down a ball playing in the Voltron sandbox, as it were. And he really goes deep into some surprising things, and that you can already see in the teaser images we've released between, you know, Lotor and what would happen if this, you know, just jarring incident of these two worlds colliding, and how would those events ripple effect and kind of change the outcome. So and you're also going to see those big money events, you know, that Tommy's going to tease, but I'm begging him. I want to see SDF-1 taking on Voltron and Robeast, and so it's a lot of fun. He's like a DJ just remixing beats and seeing what kind of flows together in there.
And Tommy, would you mind helping us answer a few of the questions that people online have been asking about this Voltron Robotech crossover comic?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have some people online that have been wondering about some of the stuff in addition to the comics, but also additional stuff for Tommy and Jeremy together. So, I want to start off by warming up with a few questions about that, and then we'll get really into the comic. This is for both Tommy and Jeremy, and they want to know, this is Gregory Tyler asking, what is the TV market like today versus the 80s? Is it more difficult or less difficult for an independent production company to bring a TV show to a market in a profitable way? And do outlets like iTunes make this easier or more difficult?
The TV market is completely transformed from back then. It is unrecognizable. There's not even the same broadcast system as back then. A lot of the players are gone or merged into different players today. And there's new players as well, you know, such as iTunes, which didn't exist back then. So, yeah, it is a completely different playing field. One place that Robotech does extremely well compared to back then is on, you know, home video media, because Robotech had so many episodes which were very linear in terms of the storytelling. Having episodes available contiguously on DVD or on iTunes has been a godsend for fans who, you know, because now there's a new term that didn't exist back then. Now they can finally binge watch this.
That's right.
Yeah, and I would second everything Tommy said. And also, yeah, I think has it ever been a better time to be a fan? I mean, just being able to watch all the episodes of, you guys just released Robotech, the complete series on DVD,
yes,
didn't you, Tommy?
Yes, this gigantic brick, which has everything released to date. Yeah, I gotta say, right now, it's the most convenient time to be a fan, you know, much better so than before in terms of having everything in your fingertips.
Absolutely. And then you can even go deeper and do things like Love, Live, Alive, which you guys just re-released, right, with the Shadow Chronicles.
Yeah, that was an interesting experiment with a lot of older material that had not been released in the Robotech universe. And we were able to adapt that at a relatively modest budget and get that turned around with a lot of additional material that we wasn't on the table before. We were able to add some additional scenes on top of it to kind of blend it into the Robotech universe and to offer some more scenes to fans seemed to be received really well. In fact, the biggest feedback we got was, wow, we love the stuff that you added to Love, Live, Life so much that we'd love to have more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's always been a dream of mine with Voltron, just to get in there with Albagos or something and rebrand it, you know, Voltron Lost Universe or something, and sort of see what that would be like, similar to what you guys did with Love, Live, Alive. And we were just brain jamming, and you were saying one time, Tommy, do like a director's cut of Fleet of Doom, kind of like extend that, massage it out. That would be pretty cool as well.
One of the questions that the people had online was, would you be doing a possible animated sequel to the Shadow Chronicles?
Yeah, that's actually something that we're working on right now. We have a pair of concurrent projects at Harmony Gold, Shadow Rising being the more well-known one because that's the one that we've announced. This is something that we look forward to having out for fans. Along with that, there's some of the material that Carl Masick had left unfinished. He's the creator of the Robotech series, the original producer. And one of the things that got pushed to the front of the priority order after he had passed away is we're going to try to go through and examine all the things that all the projects that he had left unfinished and see what we can do to bring those to fruition, it's very important for us to follow in as closely in Carl's footsteps as possible. And at the same time, you know, bringing more Robotech to the fans.
Well, another question that a viewer had was, will they find the SDF-3, its protoculture matrix, and Rick Hunter?
That is the central tenet of the continuing storyline following Shadow Chronicles is that's the way the end of Shadow Chronicles was set up, is continuing the search for Admiral Hunter and his SDF-3.
Right. Okay. And what's up with the Haydenites?
Yeah, that's a very good question. What's up with the Haydenites? And that's something that we're at the same time. That is one of the central pillars of the storyline.
And will they see Lisa or Minmay again?
I think in terms of Minmay, her story arc has run its course, because when Rick Hunter at the end of the Macross saga pretty much told Minmay, I've made my choice, Lisa's my girl, that's pretty much it. I know fans love Minmay, and we'll probably revisit her again in, you know, comics that are throwbacks to the old series, but in terms of new stories, to bring her back would pretty much be beating a dead horse.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for answering those questions for us. Now we're back on to just the Robotech Voltron crossover comic. And I'd actually like to ask you, Was there previous works by Elmer that said that you would like to have him work on this project?
Yeah, he had actually worked on a Speed Racer manga many years ago, and that brought him to my attention because I had also worked on Speed Racer, and I thought his work was absolutely fantastic. And I had actually been trying to get him on another series to work together. I had been trying to find a project for him for a while so that we could work together. And this was finally it, where everything just fell into place where we could work. And definitely the wait has been worth it. I've been so blown away by how good he is.
Right. Now, you did the cover art for this issue, right?
Yes.
All right. Are you doing any other cover arts?
Yes, I'm actually doing some more after the first and second issues, and you'll be seeing those soon.
Okay, good. That's something the folks would like to know. Now, there's people that are going to ask, does this fall into canon at all on either the Robotech side or the Voltron side? And I'm pretty sure what your answer is going to be, but go ahead and answer.
Okay. In terms of the crossover, the events are going to... the events are going to resolve themselves neatly so that fans will feel like the only thing that they had to walk away with from the crossover are the things that were defined in their respective universes. So you're going to find out things about characters on both sides. And this was something that after going back and forth with Jeremy, we were very careful with, so that this is one of those cases where, you know, you don't have to worry about the universes being completely intertwined permanently, but at the same time, there are things you learn that are new about the characters from the storyline that fans can feel like that they can keep with them after the series is over, if that makes sense.
Okay, well, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm really much looking forward to reading the whole thing. I've actually gotten a chance to read that first issue.
Oh,
and I have to say,
okay, so you haven't seen anything from the second one yet?
No, I haven't seen the second one, but I have seen the first one.
Okay, all right.
Okay?
What you're going to find out from the second one is it's actually going to go even more in depth into the backstory behind the Eris universe. Mm-hmm. With things that were brought up about Lotor, like what's up with Lotor, you know, always being after
and
Princess
why?
Allura because she looks just like his mom, you know, all
wow.
those backstories, you know, for things that fans remember, we're actually putting those into the, putting that into the storyline in this crossover. So, you know, why is it that Lotor's memory of his own mother, she definitely does not look Drool. You notice very specifically for fans who have watched all the flashbacks in the series, his mother definitely looks like a blonde-haired human or Erusian like Allura and not like any other ordinary Drool, you know, hence why, compared to some other Drool commanders, why Lotor may have more what you would consider softer features. He's a little bit more human-like in his appearance than the rest of the Drools. And, you know, what's the backstory? You know, what's up with Alphor's absence from the Voltron Lion series, and you know, at the same time, you know, backstories about Koran. We've got that all in there. The second issue is going to be extremely dense in terms of material.
So does that mean it's going to be longer than the first issue?
No, it's going to be about the same length, but it's going to be very dense story-wise. You know, I really love comic books that have a lot of meat in them, in which that, you know, you just have a smorgasbord of information where you're just learning a lot about the characters and, you know, what makes them tick.
Right. Wow. So we also wanted to ask a few questions about your background in comics and where you got your influences from when it came to your style of art and writing when it comes to comics.
Well, my art and writing style, I would go back to an old manga and anime producer by the name of Tatsuo Yoshida. He was the founder of Tatsunoko. I guess I'm heavily influenced by him because I grew up watching Speed Racer. And one of his storytelling styles is he's very Shakespearean in terms of building up these story arcs. He would build up these, you know, grand epic stories, and then at the very end there would be just a surprise revelation that would shock the main character to their core. Like in Speed Racer, he discovers that the man who was protecting him for the whole series was his own brother, who he thought was gone from his family, from his life.
Racer X,
that's correct. Rex Racer. And then also in Battle of the Planets / Gotcha Man, Mark discovers that the leader of the team that always bails him out whenever the G-Force group gets in over their head is his own father. You know, when he was led to believe that he was raised into a team of orphans, he himself thought that he was an orphan until, lo and behold, in one of the last episodes, he discovers that it's his own father who sacrificed himself to save him. Well, they kind of softened writing on the American version, but, you know, and it's that kind of storytelling where there's familial context, defining characters, and their backstories, and all this kind of, drama and angst. That's really what drives a lot of storytelling from the studio, which is Tatsunoko, which produced Robotech. And actually, members of the staff from Tatsunoko had actually worked at Toei on Voltron. So there's a lot of crossover. There were staff who worked at one studio who worked at the other. So there's a lot of similar, styles shared by the two studios.
Right, and Franklin Kofod was one of the original producers of the Battle of the Planets TV show.
Yeah.
You know, and he worked on Voltron. So, wow, this all interconnects quite well.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Voltron and Battle of the Planets, it's, the five who join to open a can of whoop-ass. That's a very similar concept.
For the, for the Flying Phoenix.
Two. Yeah.
Right. Wow. I mean... Well, we were big fans of Battle of the Planets, Gotcha Man, and Speed Racer as well. I think we're going to wrap it up here, but I'd like to thank you for joining us on the Let's Voltron podcast, and we look forward to more of the issues. When does issue 2 come out?
Issue 2, we're actually on a 6-week schedule because this book has been very complicated to put together. I would say that in mid-February is going to be the next book. And then 6 weeks after that, very beginning of April is going to be the next issue after that.
Oh, great. We're looking forward to every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking forward to more stuff from Robotech, like you were talking about Shadow Rising.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And we're also looking forward to, obviously, the 2014 30th anniversary year for Voltron.
Hey, congratulations to everyone on that side, Jeremy and the folks at World Events.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next time.
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much, Mark.
And now, back to Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
Well, thank you, Tommy Yoon, for being on the program on behalf of all Voltron fans and myself and Mark Morell. And this is an awesome collaboration, and we appreciate you lending your talents, both in artistry and writing. And I can't wait to read the next scripts that Tommy comes up with. But his cover art alone is worth going to your local comic book store this Tuesday and picking up Robotech Voltron #1 from Dynamite Comics. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, that's comic book gold right there. Two anime franchises like that coming together as one. Man, that's just awesome.
Yeah, you had a little sneak peek of the something. I slipped you a little something on the side, didn't I, Mark? What did you think?
Yes. I loved it. I can't wait for the next one. And, you know, he gave me a little bit of a teaser there. So I'm looking forward to it. And I wish, you know, we could get something like this going on longer. But I know it's one of those, like, special things that, you know, happens only once in a lifetime. So... I'm looking forward
to it. And we'll see when #2 comes out as well. And so it's been good, man. So it's been good. Well, I guess we teased everyone with a shocking announcement here on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. So, Mark, I guess we should deliver, huh?
Yes. You pulled a Sven on us, didn't you?
I did pull a slight Sven here. I actually, after 10 years of defending the Defender of the Universe, I've made the difficult decision to move on and accept a position as Vice President of Digital Entertainment at Cool Fire Media, which is also here in town. It's a production company that's doing a lot of branded entertainment things and starting to get into some digital aspects. They've got shows on the air right now, from Oprah's Own Network to Discovery Channel. They just had a show, Salvage City, premiere. So I'm going to help out some friends there, but we'll continue to work with WEP. I've become extremely close with everyone over here at WEP, and they're like family to me, particularly Bob Koppler's like a brother to me, and Tiffany Lardy's like a sister, and that we fight all the time. And no, it's good, and it's just one of those things that you kind of know when it's time. And given Voltron's in such good hands right now with the folks at DreamWorks Animation, and I don't have any inside scoop as far as what they're specifically going to do, but it just felt like a good time to kind of grab a new challenge and to move on. But I want to stress to fans that the Facebook, Twitter, and all the things I enjoy interacting with fans will not be interrupted. I'm going to hang out and be a fan ambassador as long as they'll let me, and particularly this podcast I'm really enjoying with you, Mark, and we'll hope to continue that as well. So I encourage fans to keep subscribing, and you know, if not, we joke, but that it could become the unofficial Voltron podcast, and then we can really get real, right?
Well, I do want to be one of the first to say congratulations on your new position.
Thank you, Mark.
And we do look forward to all the talents that you have coming out, you know, through Cool Fire.
Yeah, Cool Fire Media.
There is a little bit of a bittersweetness here coming on here, you know, because you are gaining a new job, but we are losing a Voltron Force member. Okay.
Ah, but you're gaining a fan as well.
Yes.
Man, I'm like Rodimus Prime taking off the Matrix and handing Rodimus Prime, and now I get to say, Hot Rod's back, let's party.
Well, there are other people out there who have already congratulated you on your new job, and also wanted to wish you well, and also had some nice thing to say about your years at Voltron. Would you like to hear them?
Sure. All of them are very touching, and it's nice to be so welcome. But I just stress, just like Voltron, it is not about one man. And I've had the privilege of being the face of Voltron for a while in front of fans and interacting. But believe me, there's folks like Bob Koppler and Ted Koppler who are defending the defender of the universe every day, and in bigger ways than you could ever imagine. So there will not be an interruption in Facebook or Twitter and all this stuff, and we're already gathering people to help support that. And like I said, I'm going to crash these panels, and if they ever need anybody to help host or whatnot, I'm still one of the biggest Voltron fans out there.
Well, so It'll just be weird not to hear you coming from the other side of the @Voltron Twitter account.
Hey, you know, I still got it. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I'll help him out for a long time.
Okay. Well, our first one says, congratulations on the job, Jeremy. We will miss your creative process that you brought to Voltron, as it takes someone with that passion to have brought what came out. Okay. And another one we have, thanks for keeping Voltron alive. Your enthusiasm, effort, and contribution will always be a part of the Voltron universe. You definitely left a legacy to a lot of kids. Keep your head high upon any change that comes to your life and embrace it with love and hope.
Oh, man, that's just the best right there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I encourage fans, you know, we can still connect. You can follow me at Jeremy Corey, at @JeremyCorray, which will be really weird to tweet as myself and not at Voltron, or the folks at Cool Fire Media. So that's at @COOLMEDIA. That's probably the best way we can kind of keep in touch. And I assure you, there's some crazy projects in the works that will probably appeal to Voltron fans. And I hope to be working with WEP on a couple different projects here in the future. So it's never been a better time to be a Voltron fan, I got to tell you. That's why it was such a difficult decision just to be able to have to step away from the Defender with the 30th anniversary coming up. We've got the book from Viz Media, George Soane's Toynami toy launching there in February, but it'll be great to be a fan and actually be surprised by some of the things. So I remain a huge Voltron fan and will continue to support in any way they'll have me.
It would be really cool to talk to George about that Toynami Voltron collection there.
Yeah, well, that's kind of our next quest, huh? Our next guest quest. We're going to reach out to George, who is a madman of diecast and just a super passionate guy And I hope to hope we can land him here, if not next episode, the following one, so he can talk about the 30th anniversary collector set, now on presale at Voltron.com. So,
yeah,
it's a pretty fantastic item, and he's got some fun stuff in the works, and he is just so passionate about giant robots and mecha and toys in general. He truly is a tsunami of Toynami.
And here's a guaranteed thing. If they want to hear from you again, listen to this podcast. That's the way to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. The better this podcast goes, the more they'll let us do this crazy thing, huh? So subscribe on iTunes and tell people about it. And I love this. This is such a great way to sort of bring the Comic-Con panel experience into a podcast form. Wouldn't you say this is a lot like what we do at New York Comic-Con, just kind of chop it up here and talk about all the great things going on in the world of Voltron. And
every time we talk to the fans, you know, through the Facebook or the Twitter or whatever accounts, through letsvoltron.com, through those comments, it's like you talking to them during the panels at the conventions.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll maybe even do a mailbag show here soon. So ask those questions on our official Voltron Facebook page. Like Mark said, tweet them in or leave them on letsvoltron.com. And we'll go right through and we'll just go one by one. Maybe that'll be our next show. So tell us what you like. Tell us what you'd want to hear. And follow the official at Voltron Twitter and or facebook.com/Voltron official.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this week. And we want to thank Tommy Yoon once again for joining us, our very first guest appearance. And we want to say to the rest of you, keep holding on to that Voltron dream, all right? Because it's coming. All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, and form blazing holidays here. And be sure to form the head and be safe wherever you guys are. Don't drink too much eggnog and get in the car. And if I think we'll do another one of these before, but if not, have a blazing 2014, 30th anniversary of Voltron. How can it be better? 30 years old. Once you think about that for a while.
Right. Until then, let's Voltron.